I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. As you turn there, I just want to express thanks for the outpouring of appreciation that has been coming our way in this last month. And Jordan and I were talking about that this week, that it's you folks don't just do it in October. We sense your affirmation, your appreciation throughout the year, and we feel privileged to be the pastors of this congregation. And we also feel that we are a part of you, us all ministering together. And even as we do our ministry as staff, we also appreciate the others that work together with us. Mary leading us, Mary Penner leading the janitorial team and just keeping our church clean and ready for use always. Lisa and the administrative, and Martha and the counseling. And it's just neat to be a part of such a team. So thank you. Today we want to start a series on parenting. And there's always an interesting thing that happens when we do a topical series such as this. And part of that is that it's not going to relate to all of you. Okay? But I hope that there will still be some principles and some truths that will be applicable to your life. Today, we want to talk about home security. And as we talk about home security, then you may be sitting there and saying, well, my home is not very secure. My home is chaos. My home is broken. And even though we won't be talking specifically about the healing of a broken home, we pray that you will sense that God is with you and walks with you in your situation. And we pray that you will be able to realize that God's plan is not brokenness, but God's plan is wholeness. We may look at this whole topic of homes, of parenting, and we may feel that there just isn't much use in today's day and age to try to raise the bar. That isn't true either. That is a lie of the evil one. For God doesn't call us to anything or give us that He doesn't resource us for and provide for us. And so as we work our way through these next Sundays of just talking about home and talking about family, I pray that you will be blessed and your home and your marriage and your parenting will be strengthened through that. I appreciate the different resources, the parenting, Raising Truly Great Kids conference that we had just not even a month ago, right? And different resources that are ongoing in helping us in what really is the very foundational core of society, and that is our homes. And what we have to realize as we look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, that at the very crux of this matter, at the very heart and at the very center of the home, which starts with a marriage and then with family, is a spiritual warfare, a spiritual element that's there that we cannot get around. You can ignore it if you want, but it's still there. And so as we talk about that, there's a lot of challenges that we face. But I think that as we look at the Scriptures, we find that God has given to us instruction. He has given to us patterns. So I want us to ask the question, how secure is your home? I want you to evaluate, and I want you to think honestly. How secure is your home? And I want to use the illustration of a security system that probably, you know, here in Lacrete, we're not as aware of the need for security systems, because if we had security systems, we might need to lock our doors. So we might need to begin there. But if you have had any experience with city living or living in other countries, you begin to realize the importance of security systems and what they do in a home. Basically, there's two things that I'd like to say a security system provides. First of all, it provides peace of mind. It provides peace of mind that you can walk anywhere in your house and be secure. Now, I was gone to Chicago for those meetings with team for Anthony and Carlene's orientation, and our house is secure, but I hadn't been back for a whole day yet before Martha scared the living daylights out of me again. I couldn't find her. It was dark. And I called her, and she didn't answer, so I thought she was in the bedroom, and she wasn't. She was standing around the corner where I was going. Now, my security system doesn't seem to catch that. That's not the security I'm talking about, but it'd be a lot different if it wasn't my wife. If that was some stranger or someone intending on criminal intent, it would be a whole different story, as you can imagine. Provide peace of mind that your home is secure. That's the first thing. The second thing is it provides protection against burglary and theft or criminal intent. It provides protection because it is a defense against those dangers. Our world today is incredibly full of dangers. It always has been. It always has been. They may be different. The generations may be different. Our world is different. But there's still a sense in which raising children, having a family, getting married, all of those, they bring you into a dangerous place. Using the word danger in that context, I think as we look at this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we find that here is provided for us a system for peace in our home and the protection that we need by God Himself. Let's read it, starting at verse 1. Says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to give your fathers, to Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. We find in this passage of Scripture a security, a system. And in these first verses, we actually find a guarantee. And every product that you buy has some kind of warranty on it, doesn't it? A guarantee. We like it when it says lifetime warranty, and you can just bring it back and exchange it. But usually, there's all kinds of fine print that is there. God's system, and I'm going to refer to it as a system, and I hope you won't be misled by it because it isn't inspired by God. It's an illustration to help us to capture some truth about the family. That this system of God comes with a guarantee if we keep His commands, His decrees, and His laws, and if we teach them to the next generation, then we will enjoy long life and prosperity. So it is conditional. It's an incredible lifetime guarantee that has conditions attached to it. We need this protection that He provides in this system, because the way ahead is dangerous. Now, the day that those of you that are married, the day that you stood before the altar and you said your I do's, that was the day that you crossed into the promised land. That was the day you crossed into the promised land. Just like the children of Israel. It is possible that our marriages in the promised land can be similar to that of the children of Israel. If you follow the history of the children of Israel, you will find that when they followed God, they enjoyed peace, prosperity, protection. When they chose to follow their own hearts and their own ways, and forsook God and rebelled against Him, the protection and the peace was removed. And they experienced horrendous, horrendous things. And that, my brothers and sisters, is what God promises, what He gives to us in our marriages. He gives us that opportunity because, so to speak, in the scenario we are using, we will all cross into the promised land when we at that wedding altar. But there was a lot of wars to be fought on the other side of the Jordan. That promised land, it's a wonderful land. It's a wonderful land to be enjoyed, but not without God's promises, decrees, and laws. Let me repeat. It's a wonderful land to be enjoyed, but not without careful obedience to God's commands, laws, and decrees. Verse 2 has those "so that." And when you read "so that," then you recognize the condition. There's something that has to happen so that. The purpose of God's security system is clear. You need this. You need it so that you, your children, their children, that number one, they may fear the Lord. That they may fear the Lord. If our faith is not passed on to the next generation, then we have robbed our children and the future generations of incredible blessings. So that you, your children, and their children may fear the Lord by keeping the decrees and commands, so that they may enjoy long life. Well, isn't that what the North American dream is? That we may be happy, that we may enjoy life? That's exactly what God is trying to give us. But when God gives us something, He always gives it to us on His terms. Because He created us, He knows what is best for us. And we, in our short-sightedness and our humanness, do not know that. Jeremiah tells us that our heart is deceitful above everything and desperately wicked, which tells me I cannot trust my heart. I need something outside of myself that will not change to depend on, to be able to grab onto. He uses the word so that your children may fear the Lord. They may enjoy long life. You know what that means? He did not choose to put in the word that your children will fear the Lord or that your children will experience and enjoy long life. He says that they may. You and I, as mom and dad, as parents, have an incredible opportunity to present to our children. We cannot make all their choices for them. They must choose for themselves. But by following God's commands in our lives, we provide for them an opportunity to fear the Lord, to enjoy the real life. The guarantee in verse 3 is kind of just brought into a nutshell when he says, be careful to obey, there's so that again, so that it may go well and that you may increase greatly. Now, we'd like to flip that into financial terms, and isn't that what we would desire? That we would like to increase greatly? We would like for our investments to do well? There's something much deeper of wellness and of things to go well for us to enjoy life than our financial or material resources. It's not about that. Because you can look around you and you can see beautiful homes, a bank account that is not easily overdrawn, and an unhappy home, an unhappy marriage. Even our health does not come into here. Because we have incredible examples of people who are suffering and suffering intensely, but are praising the Lord and are enjoying the life that He has provided. So this prosperity and in this enjoying long life is God's definition, not our definition, because Canadian definitions would be a lot different than North Korean definitions. But this promise is the same for our brothers and sisters in North Korea as it is for us here in Lacrete. And so that tells me that they have nothing of the wealth and the comfort and the freedom that you and I enjoy, and yet they can increase greatly and enjoy long life. And that tells me that God's definition is just that. It's His. Just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. This is God's promise to us. So, we see the system, we read about it, but we have to decide to buy it, and when we buy the system, we need to install it. It doesn't help us to have the system sitting in our garage. Doesn't provide a lot of security. And we may say, you know, we've got it, it's there, it's on the shelf, I can see it, but I don't have time to install it. Because right now I don't know how to install it, and I'm going to have to read the manual, and I don't have time to read the manual, so I'm just going to leave it there, and the day that I get some time, I'm going to take it down, I'm going to open the box, I'm going to study this thing, and I'm going to start to install it. It doesn't help us. You've purchased a system, and this actually is the only system that works. And you've read the ads, right? Ours is the best. This is the only thing you'll ever need. Only to be fooled. But God's guarantee isn't like that. When He says this is the only system, He means this is the only system. Because if you read here, He says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Isaiah would add to that and say, there is no one besides me. But then He goes on and He says, not only am I one, in order for this to work, I need all. Three times, He says, all. I need all your heart. I need all your mind. I need all your strength. There's not much left of us after we've given that. This is what He desires from us. This is the only way that this system works. You see, this system must monitor everything. It's not going to provide any protection while it's on the shelf, and it's not going to provide any protection if you choose to tinker with it and try to adapt it to suit your needs. Can you imagine it? You know, I'm going to install the system, but this room and this room and this room I don't want in the system. And so we can put up a sign on our window saying, you know, thief, please don't come in this window. I haven't secured this room. This system that God has designed for the family must take everything. It must monitor everything. And the moment you change the system to suit yourself, you either don't install some components or you change the components, the warranty is off. It's off. Try to bring it back. And you say, you know, God, I did have it. I only tweaked this a bit and that a bit. Why isn't this good enough? As we talk about the home, then this is at the very center. Your love for God. Your love for God. Unless you come to terms with you and God, and your relationship with God, the rest of what we are talking about and what the Scriptures guarantees you does not come into play. It boils down to your love for God. It's not about your spouse. They're not the ones that determine how good your relationship with God will be. It's not about your children, whether they behave or misbehave or make the right choices as they grow into adulthood. Your love for God becomes foundational. And this, folks, Those of you that are not married, this is why it is so key that you as boyfriend and girlfriend, fiancés, are on the same page spiritually. Because if you have one that loves the Lord their God with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength, and someone that doesn't, you're going two different directions. And it is impossible in that context to be able to have a godly home. If you were unsaved when you got married and one of you gets saved later on, that's a different scenario because, you see, God honors marriage. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7 talks about that. You see, marriage isn't just for the believer. Marriage is for humanity. It's God instituted, God designed for mankind, not for believers only. And 1 Corinthians 7 tells us that if you are married to an unbeliever, you stay married as long as that unbeliever will stay with you. And you, by your prayers, your life, your spiritual life, your Christian life, will bring God into your home and sanctify it, make it holy, set it apart. But if you aren't married and you are dating someone who isn't a believer, be warned. God will not be fooled. You are in a very, very dangerous position if you are not on the same page spiritually. We say, well, I am doing evangelistic dating. Well, I think that you should go two by two then, as Jesus did. It doesn't work. Because the dynamics of young love and the dynamics of people who are in love is that we will do things for the one we love to gain that which we don't want to lose. But then when real life hits and we're living together as husband and wife, then we find that that path never did come together. Your love for God is the determining factor on what type of home you will have. Your love for God is the determining factor on what type of a home you will have. Most of us, when we got married, we said that we wanted Christ at the center of our marriage, at the center of our home. Is it still true today? However many years on the other side of the altar in the land of Canaan? Is Christ really, truly the center of our home? We have a system and we have it installed, but we need to activate it. Now what? We've got the signs, and I like the way he says it in Deuteronomy, or I hadn't thought of that till I was reading it later, where he talks about tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. You know, these signs of the security systems, they stick a sign on your lawn, right? Tells everybody that this home is protected by, and then you put stickers on the windows saying this home is protected by. What if you never activate it? Are the signs enough? Well, they do a bit. They do. They do some good. But it is not enough. He says that these commandments are to be on our heart. Okay, what's your heart again? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Okay, so your heart is completely God's, and these commands and God's ways now are to be on your heart. They're to be upon your heart. Impress them upon your children. Every room is secure. When you lie down, when you get up, when you walk, when you drive, and the list could go on. He does not leave out any areas that don't come under the monitoring system of God's all your heart, all your strength, and all your mind. But you know what happens? We activate the security system. And when you walk into a home that is secured with a system, what do you hear when you open the door? Beep, beep. Right? Beep, beep. And if it's set, you better know the code. Or it'll go beep, 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 beep. But you hear that as you enter. And you know that it does get to be a bit of a bother to have to go and punch in your code. And it gets to be a bother because you can't even get a friend to go pick something up with you for you at your house without giving them that code. Your children have to know the code. And there are times that we set them off by accident. We breach security. And yet, when a security system is there and it's activated, it provides peace of mind and protection. Now walk into that home and see husband and wife moving around in that relationship of marriage, feeling secure, feeling peace, feeling protected, feeling safe with their spouse, feeling valued, feeling understood. What happens when mom and dad have that type of a relationship? What type of an atmosphere does that create for the children? They don't walk around on eggshells wondering, when am I going to set this thing off? They don't walk around wondering, will they be here tomorrow? Will they be here next year? This isn't some far-fetched fairy tale, folks. This can be reality. In fact, God desires that to be reality in your home. But look, you are going to breach security. You are going to set off the alarms. And you have two options that you can have when you set off those alarms. Husbands and wives, we're going to do that. Our children are going to do that. So what are we going to do? God already provided the reset for His system. He did, because He knew that we would not live in perfect lives, in a perfect world. But you see, we can allow those bells to continue, and I don't know how long it would take before you would get used to that ringing in the background. I just know that when the first week we were in this building, something triggered our system, and we listened to it for I don't know how many hours. And it, you don't get used to it. But maybe eventually you would. But you see, then we had them come in, the guys that installed it, and they disarmed it for a while. And that's so much better. That's so much better. So you can try to get used to the bells, or you can disarm it and leave it unarmed. Or you can choose God's way that says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number one, when I breach security, I have to get my relationship right with God. That's the first thing. Number two is Colossians. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances, breaches of alarms that you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. When I have gone to God for forgiveness, then I need horizontal forgiveness. I cannot continue my marriage relationship. I cannot continue my parenting without making that right. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. It's reset. And when it's reset, you return to what? You return to peace. You return to protection. Folks, that's the beauty. Is that the more you set off the alarms, don't hesitate to go back and reset the system. Don't get used to just having it off. You may say, you know what, I just don't have energy to go through all the problems of resetting that system. I'm going to wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow comes, then the day after comes, before you know it's a week, and then say, oh man, I didn't reset the system. And back you go, oh honey, I'm so sorry. Why did you wait the week? There was a whole week that your family was insecure, not just you. But you said everybody else was also insecure. Your spouse, your children, and you know what? Anyone that came to your home would notice that. Reset the system. Every guarantee has it, every owner's manual, doesn't it? Warning. Don't use your hair dryer in the shower. There's some of those warnings are so silly. And you know, in some ways we would think that God's warning here in verses 10 to 12 are silly. Because when things are going well, now I'm talking about our homes. There is peace. Husband and wife are getting along. The children are normal in the home. And we begin to slide. We begin to think, you know what, it's pretty safe in Lacrete. I don't really see much danger out in our neighborhood. My neighbors, they watch out for me. So I don't need a system. I'll just disarm it for a while. And we're lulled into thinking that because there's peace, because there's protection, we don't need the system. When you eat and are satisfied, be careful. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord. We are people of cycle, aren't we? We either don't have the system armed because we get so annoyed with it, or maybe even discouraged that we keep setting it off, and so we hate the process of resetting it. Or things are going so well that, you know, we disarm it and then we leave it. Because we don't think we need it. And you know, the odd time when we open the door and we hear the beep, we think, oh, you know, yeah. But we get busy. And so some is not intentional it's not our intention to let this go. It just happened. How secure is your home? How secure is your home? Dad, husband, you and I are the head of the home. This security department is our department. We are the ones that are, our role given to us by God is to install it, activate it, maintain it. That's our job. That's our responsibility. That's our mandate. I don't care how you want to put it. You can't get around that. Together with our wives, we learn how the system works by studying it, the owner's manual, together. We do that as husband and wife. We initiate that. And then, together as husband and wife, mom and dad, we teach our children how the system works and how they can be secure. How secure is your home? How would you rate it? Are you experiencing God's guarantee, God's blessing? If our homes are not secure, change it today. Do whatever you have to change it today. God has called you to that. He has not left that responsibility to your children. Number one, He has called us as husbands. Then He has put us together as husband and wife. And we are the ones that God is going to hold accountable for the security of our home. Let's pray. Father, we know that you have, what you have asked of us, you have also provided for us. And this passage of Scripture has so much more in it than we could ever do justice to in a short time like today. But Lord, just getting that overview of what you are saying shows us how important it is to you that our homes be secure. So Lord, you know where every home that is represented here today, you know where it's at. And you know, Lord, what it would take to bring it, to raise the bar of security in each of our homes. May we never be lulled into thinking that we don't need the system or that we can adapt the system. Lord, take us from where we are at today and take us into tomorrow, into greater security. Amen.